Morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, March 8, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book, Bill's Story, page 8, that second paragraph starting with, "Trembling, I step from the hospital, a broken man," ending with, "In a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes." Today's readers, for the steps, we have Julie G., Tens of Peace, going to do the traditions. Our first reader is Susan S.H. Page 164 is Anne Marie M. Our backup reader is Judith S.P. Newcomer greeters Krista F. Second hour host is Colleen M. And Kathy S. will handle announcements today. Reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, March 7th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,204. That's 21204. And the 10 a.m. meeting is 21,205. 21205. The OA preamble. Excuse me. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, rank, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is affiliated with any is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and a practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Julie G. to read the 12 steps of LA.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Russ, for your service. This is Julie G. I'm a compulsive overeater calling in from Pennsylvania. Here are the 12 steps of OA. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, humanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service. I'll pass.
Thanks, Julie. Appreciate it. Next up is Tenzin P. with the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. Here are our beautiful 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're back in the Big Book, Bill's Story, page 8, that second paragraph. And we're just reading that second paragraph. It starts with trembling. I stepped from the hospital, a broken man, ending in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. And Susan S. Ace is going to take care of this reading. Susan, you're up to start us off.
Thank you. I'm Susan S. H. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, very grateful, in Ohio. Trembling, I stepped from the hospital a broken man. Fear sobered me for a bit. Then came the insidious insanity of that first drink. And on Armistice Day, 1934, I was off again. Everyone became resigned to the certainty that I would have to be shut up somewhere or would stumble along to a miserable end. How dark it is before the dawn. In reality, that was the beginning of my last debauch. I was soon to be catapulted into what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. Oh, what a contrast. Wow. I can definitely identify with the low point, the trembling, the fear that, yeah, I could maybe stop for a while on fear, but I have written in the margin here, fear was not enough. It was not enough to keep me abstinent. And I was tumbling. I remember my lowest point. I remember the desperation that was a gift that allowed me to let someone in to help me. And I I do not want to go there again, but the fear alone does not keep me from returning to that life. I am absolutely still a compulsive overeater. And if I do not use my directions, I'll be back there in a flash. The steps are my directions. And I have been catapulted, maybe a slow catapult, but into happiness, peace, and usefulness. Staying in happy usefulness, it's for me. And it still amazes me. And it is more incredible as time passes. I have learned to use the directions, the steps, to ask my higher power into everything. And that is the key. And I'm just so grateful for where I am. I'm so glad to be reading about Bill starting to turn around. And I'm so grateful that he went through all those things and was able to share it with us. I guess that's all I have to talk about, and I will pass there.
All right. Thank you for starting us off, Susan. So we're going to open up the lines for Sharon, and you know the drill. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day, allow others to have their chance to share too. So Wednesday or Thursday, if you shared, please step back. That's on any meeting and vision. Hit me one at a time.
Who's
Julie
right?
M.
Christina
M.
Christina J.
Oh,
M. Julie
M.
Joanne
G.
Okay. All right, 1 second. Let me just see who I got. I got Julie, Colleen, Harlan, Christina. There was someone I could hear.
Loretta
call.
H. Loretta
we'll
H.
Get Loretta. Yeah, Loretta.
Joanne B.
Joanne, there you go. Joanne B.
Ilana P.
Ilana. Okay, 1 second. Harlan G, Christina J, Colleen G, I believe, and there was a Julie. Julie was the first one I got. All right, anybody else?
Novella P from Maine.
Joanne B.
No, I got you, Joanne. You're in there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. All right, this is a pretty good list. So we got Julie. I think it was Julie G, Colleen G, Harlan G, Christina J, Joanne B, Loretta H, Anna P, Novella P. All right, Julie, you're up. Star one, Julie.
Oh, Russ, that wasn't me.
Okay.
Hi, this is Julie M. Sorry about that.
This is
Julie M. in
that.
New York. A year ago, tomorrow, but since we're not going to be on the line tomorrow, a year ago, I was on my knees begging God to help me again after being in program for 17 years and having relapse after relapse after relapse. And I was praying and I said, God, help me. And then this light bulb came on and said, why don't you go on to the computer and see what meetings there are available? And I stumbled upon a vision for you, which is not really a stumble. That's where God directed me to go. And I was so impressed with how everybody on the line was talking about the solution. And I was in fear. I was desperate. I was on my knees. And the miracle has happened that I will be celebrating my first year abstinently in Overeaters Anonymous through a vision sponsor, through all the knowledge that I received from all of you, from all the help. And I am so grateful for every single woman that reached out to me and all the women that continue to help me day in and day out. This has been an incredibly stressful year with so many things, and I didn't have to eat over it. So today I am catapulted into the fourth dimension of joy and peace and happiness and serenity in all words that I'm using. and not following what's in the book, but some of them are there. And I am incredibly grateful for everyone that has helped me and for this meeting and for all of you being on the line. So thank you so much for allowing me to share, and have a peaceful day, everyone.
Okay, next up is Colleen G, followed by Harlan G.
Hey, good morning, Russ. This is Colleen M, as in Mary, from Maryland. And thank you, everyone, for being of service this morning. Can I be heard? I'm going to assume I can. I wanted to talk about the fourth dimension, being rocketed into the... Oh, thank you. Being rocketed into the fourth dimension. I spent 30 years in 12-step groups in my lifetime. And this was always something that escaped me. You know, when am I going to get rocketed into this fourth dimension? And, you know, by the grace of God and this program and working the steps, you know, the way that it's done through the big book with the help of a recovered sponsor, I've been rocketed in the fourth dimension. And so that, you know, to me, it is that my negative thinking is being transformed by my higher power. I don't think about me. You know, my goal today, I'm not perfect at it, but is to, you know, ask God what he would have me do and be. I'm not focused on what I'm going to lose or what I might not obtain. And I have peace and happiness even in difficult times. And food does not call to me anymore. And that for me is my fourth dimension. And I'm just so grateful. I know God's got a lot more work to do with me, but hopefully if I continue along this path, I'm going to keep getting more and more of what I've gotten so far. So thanks for letting me share. Everyone have a great day.
Ross, we can't hear you, buddy.
Sorry, man. I won't butcher this name. Harlan G. There you go.
All right. Thanks, Russ. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. In April of 1934, Bill is released from Towns Hospital for the second hospitalization. He is told through Silkworth, and his wife is informed, that there is nothing that can be done for him, and he is going to have to be given over to the undertaker or the insane asylum. This is November 11th, 1934. He has been sober for months, and it is a beautiful, beautiful November day. Lois says to Bill, "Why don't you go golfing?" Because Bill loves golfing. So she gives him some money, and he goes golfing on the bus with his clubs, and he meets a man that has a rifle. Could you imagine getting on a rifle on a bus today? The cops would take you away. But anyway, this guy is going skeet shooting, and they're both going to the end of the line. At the end of the line, if you go one way, there's a skeet shooting place, and you go the other way, there's a golf course. And the bus has an accident. The bus gets into a collision with a car, and the bus is sidelined, and they're waiting for another bus. And Bill and this man go into a bar, go into a restaurant bar, and they have some sandwiches. And Bill is telling this man why he doesn't drink. He's telling him all the things that have happened to him in the hospital and in his life. This complete stranger, he's opening up to this guy. And this big, and I don't know why Bill describes him. He says this big Irish bartender comes over with a couple of beers because it's Armistice Day, which means they're celebrating November 11th, which we now know as Veterans Day. They're celebrating the armistice in World War I. He says to Bill and this other guy, "Were you guys in the war?" They said, "Yes." He puts the beers down, and here is the action of the mental blank spot, the built-in forgetter. Bill downs the beer in nothing flat. Long story short, the guy says to him, "After everything that you've told me, are you crazy?" And Bill says, "Yes, I must be crazy." Long story short, Bill is found by Lois in the hallway of their apartment dead drunk, because it triggered the allergy. Let's look at this beautiful promise here. I was to soon be catapulted, what an image, into what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. There's height, width, depth, and the fourth dimension is the dimension of God, the dimension of the spiritual. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. Because there are things going on with Ebby and Roland and Sieber Graves Jr. and Dr. Jung that Bill only has a very fleeting knowledge of that are going to come in and change the world forever. We just need to wait two more paragraphs. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much, Russ, for your service.
Thanks, Har. Appreciate it. Next up is Christina J., followed by Joanne B. I hope I didn't butcher the names again.
Hey, Russ. Hey, everybody. Christina J. in North Carolina. Oh, my God. These paragraphs have been so painful. It never stopped me. I've tasted very, very deep fear in this disease, relapsing from the diets early on, and then as I got into program, relapsing from program, and then relapsing from my connection to God, the foundation that I need to build. Everyone was resigned to the certainty that he was going to fail and die or whatever. You know what? God isn't. My soul, my true higher power within isn't. There's something in me that wants me to be saved. And when am I going to be catapulted? When am I going to be able to stay on program? When am I going to be able to not relapse anymore? When am I going to be able to get this? Only God knows what it's going to take. Only God knows what it's going to take. I was catapulted into the pink cloud over and over and over. I've got this now. This is so cool. It's wonderful. I feel peace. I feel happiness. So, you know, I have moments like that today, but they're not constant, and I don't think for any of us they are. But the key line for me, incredibly more wonderful as time passes and as I keep keeping on. You know, I think right now I have maybe one or two toes in the fourth dimension. But I certainly go into a lot of misery. My head, I realize so many times, oh, I've got so much work to do, emotional work, you know, that slowly, as I go to my chair in the morning, I've often talked about this in the meditation and prayer, I have a mantra that I chant. And when I'm into chanting that mantra, I realize if I can just go there and focus and go into that peaceful place, that those thoughts, those craziness, that emotion, that fear, that pain, that boss, that mother, that whatever that's bugging me, kind of takes an outside place of that breathing and that silence. And then they try to sneak back in, and I get caught for a while, and then I go back out. And that's the secret. When I'm chanting the mantra, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. God's going to show me how to deal with that. I don't have to dance around in my head forever and ever about it. That's the promise of this program, that we're going to walk this path, but we have to keep doing it to get it. You know, first the food goes down. First we get out of the relapse cycle and the pink clouds and all that. And then we slowly walk towards more and more and more God. And I'm going to say something. For me, this is true. God is not chocolate. God does not taste like chocolate. God does not act like chocolate. God does not affect me like chocolate. But it turns like a boomerang every time it takes me to hell. God doesn't do that. God has never done that for me. God has always answered all my problems when I go to him. So that's the secret for me today. And love you guys. And thank you for always being there. Everybody that started this meeting and shares and everything. I'll pass.
Thanks, Christina. Before Joanne B. jumps on, let me let you know where we're at if you came on to the meeting a little later. We're in Bill's story, page 8, second paragraph, trembling, I step from the hospital, broken man. And we're just reading that paragraph. All right, Joanne, you're up.
Good morning. Thanks, Russ. Joanne B., calling it from Vermont, recovered compulsive overeater and really grateful. I tried to come on yesterday for some reason. I could not unmute myself or mute whatever. There's been so many great shares this week, and I'm so grateful for this meeting. I have about a year and a half of abstinence because of this program. And I can definitely relate to Bill's. I may not have gone as low as Bill, but I was hopeless. I didn't know what to do. I had tried so many things, so many diets, and been successful for a while, but it's like a white knuckling. Because the minute I, you know, started eating that allergic food, it would just trigger that allergy and that obsession, and I would be off to the races again, and the weight would come back on again, and I was so tired. And, you know, a friend of mine called me the day after my birthday and last year and said she was going to OA and it was helping her. And finally, I was receptive. And that was the end of it for me. That was the last day. And I went on to a meeting and I haven't turned back since. And yes, I have a feeling of peace that I haven't felt in probably all of my adult years, I think. You know, freedom from obsession over food and also freedom from my own crazy thoughts. And, what others are thinking of me, am I good enough? All those things that would drive me and keep me in the food. So I do have a relationship with a higher power today, and that's every single person on this line has inspired me in some way. So I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going because life is good. And as long as I continue to practice, practice these steps in all my affairs, continue to build a relationship with my higher power on a daily basis and ask for help from my fellows and from God, I'm going to be okay. So anyway, I hope everyone has a great weekend. Thank you for letting me share.
All right, Jillian, thank you. Next up is Loretta H., followed by Alana P.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you for your service and all of you. You are saving my life, Loretta H., recovered in Raleigh, North Carolina. How dark it is before the dawn. And then we turn to page 124 in The Family Afterwards. This is my favorite paragraph. All of you who know me know that this is. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. And this is where it was interesting that Harlan's story, the perfect storm, and he could have corrected it had he had God in his life then, or maybe not, but it was just a perfect storm. And that's why, and we all have perfect storms in our lives that could lead us one way or the other way. But then it talks about on 25, we have found much of heaven and we have been rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence, which we have never dreamed. But that takes work and a faith, turning my will, I call the third step prayer, my trust fund, over to the care of God. Care. And so he hasn't found God yet, but it's, again, that, as other people have shared, it's everything's about God. My abstinence is about God, because without that, and I, as I shared, I text my food plan every, and I've been abstinent for 22 years, every single day to this day, but my spiritual fitness must be derived from my work, from the steps, from a power greater than myself, because I have a spiritual soul sickness. And when I keep that on my heart, I can be, it says, goodwill to all men and peace on earth. It love thy neighbor as thyself. So many of God touches in this book and God's sightings available when we surrender. Seriously understanding real recovery entails not debating every reason. And with that, I pass, guys. Find God today, because you will, and all the new people, keep it. I keep it green because that is green peace for me. Amen. Bye.
Thanks, Loretta. Next up is Ilana P., followed by Novella P.
Good morning. This is Ilana P. from the Pittsburgh area. Gratefully recovered. I wanted to share on this because, first of all, at the beginning, I was in a hospital. I was in treatment for this disease. And when I got out, I thought, okay, this is it. You know, I can't do this anymore. And I'm going to be able to just stop now. And, of course, that didn't work. I mean, the insanity came again. I went through many relapses. I had periods of what I thought were recovery, years sometimes. But it didn't last until this last time. And this is when I finally found the fourth dimension. I finally felt that connection, that spiritual handout from my higher power that has enabled me to have the peace, the serenity, the usefulness that I have today in my life. And, of course, it's all to this program, all to my higher power, and all to you guys. I just love this book, and I'm so grateful to be here. That's all I have. Thanks. Pass.
Thanks, Ilana. Next up is Novella P., and then we're going to take another list of people.
Thank you so much. This is Novella P. from Maine. This spoke to my heart, too, especially about the fear. I just remember my life, my whole life. It was all in fear. That unease, never feeling safe in my world. And as a small child, I didn't feel that way. So I sucked my thumb. And so when I started sucking my thumb as I got older, adults started saying, oh, you're too old to suck your thumb. And so they took my thumb away. So I had to stop sucking. It wasn't acceptable. So I started eating. And so then I started eating food. And then I could start to have, you know, some ease to my life, and starting to, I felt comfort with my food. I felt safe with my food. And so then as I get older, I realized I didn't eat like other people. And so then I had to, I don't feel safe around my food. I don't want other people to see how I eat. So then I would hide my food. And then so what happened to me, if I was alone with my food, I would binge eat to get as much as I could. And I don't even feel safe around my food anymore because of what it was doing to my life. And it wasn't until I came to this program and learned that I had a disease, and this is what's going to happen to Bill. And that's what's happened to me. Today I feel safe around my food. And today I have that peace, that happiness, that usefulness, because now I can share this with other people and try to help them. So today I try to live in that attitude of gratitude, and I have to walk close to my God, because if I don't, that dis-ease and that discomfort comes back. Even though I'm abstinent, I have to stay spiritual. I have to stay close to God and just go sit with Him. And then I get that attitude of gratitude, and I live in peace again. So I have to walk, Eckiness that comes up, that I start to resent things and self-pity, those bedevilments. I need my God, and I know that today. Never knew. I always ate over it. Today I don't have to, because I've learned a better way to live my life. And for that, I am truly grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
All right, Novella, thank you so much. So now we're going to open up the line for sharing again, and we ask if you shared in the past 2 days on any meetings, please step back and allow others to share. Who would like to share? I think we could take about maybe 5 or 6 more.
Jane P.
Jane P.
Tough
Tony B.
Tony B.
Carmela G.
Ruben?
Ruben.
That'll work. Okay.
Thank you.
Got it.
Yeah.
Ruben H. Let's take one more. Well, let's not take one more. Okay. Jane P., Tony B., Carmela G., Ruben H., and we got time. Anybody else? All right, Jane, you're up.
Thank you, Russ. Can you hear me?
We got you loud and clear.
Great, great. Good morning. Thank you for your service. Thank you to everyone that brings this amazing meeting to us every day. How dark before the dawn. I always heard that saying, never quite knew how true it was until this disease brought me to my knees. I remember when I came into this program back in 2011, I had spent, you would think I would have been on my knees then, I'd spent a whole life white knuckling my way through everything, not just with food, but just life. Food was simply the thing that brought me some ease and comfort to deal with the fear, just everything made me afraid. And it took me however many years and however much debilitation from 2011, it took till 2020. That's when I felt the darkness coming in around me like nothing I'd ever known. Like there was just no end in sight. I remember getting to a point where I would not have killed myself. I have children, but I remember praying to God, like, you know, if I don't wake up tomorrow, that wouldn't be a bad thing. And that's what it took. You know, at 52 years old, I was completely out of ideas on my knees. And I just remember thinking, all I have to do is the next right step, what my sponsor told me, what fellows told me, use the support of the loving family I had around me and just get through the day. And that's the darkness that it took. I can really relate to Bill in a way I never could before that, despite living 50 years in fear and white knuckling. But how it felt like to me was like I was pushing off the bottom. And I think that's what it means to be catapulted, because I didn't feel it the first day, the second day, the third week, the sixth, but I turned around and all of a sudden I was living in a fourth dimension. And I am so grateful to Bill, to this program, to every single one of you for not only saving my life, but making it something incredible and something worth living every day. And I didn't say, but I'm Jane P. I'm recovered in North Carolina. And thank you all for being here today. Much love.
All right, Jane, thank you. Next up is Tony B., followed by Carmela G.
Thanks, Ross. My name's Tony B., and I'm definitely a compulsive overeater, recovered one day at a time, thanks to God. I love this meeting, and I really value the opportunity to share, and I feel very, very, very grateful for this group. And what stood out to me was, you know, I was off again, and it just struck me how many times I was off again. You know, even after I'd learned what I'd suffered from, I got to the point of being desperate. I knew I was different quite a number of years ago. I found OA, and I knew I must abstain, but I couldn't. I couldn't abstain. I didn't have the power. I just wasn't there. And I think it's true that only God knows when the miracle will happen. I definitely feared for my sanity. I thought I have to be, I'm going to have to be institutionalized to keep me away from the food. I looked up places I could go to. I wanted to be incarcerated. I wanted to be looked after. I couldn't do it. I felt desperate. I'm so grateful, you know, that the miracle happened for me, that I was able to find a sponsor on this line, that I was able to work the steps through, that it was told to me before I started working them that I would need to work with others, that I was willing to do that. And this fourth dimension, you know, it's not all roses, for sure, but I think that this wonderful as time passes is important. It's like it's ongoing, and I do have hope that it's just going to get better if I'm willing to keep doing what I do, continuing with those steps 10, 11, and 12, the usefulness there, the working with others, happiness, peace. Yes, I get glimpses of them, and yeah, this hope that it will only get better, and yes, thank God for all the little miracles. You know, as a fellow said the other day, all the little miracles that add up to my life today. Thank you, Russ, and I'll leave it there.
All right, Tony, thank you so much. Next up is Carmela G.
Thanks so much, Russ.
Sorry about that. Go ahead, Carmela.
No. Thank you. Sorry I interrupted you. Carmela G., gratefully recovered for today, from New York. It's just when I read this book initially, first of all, when I was in my disease, I thought, who needs a 12th? Well, these people are crazy. And I was the crazy one. Because once I got hooked on the doctor's opinion and Bill's story, the promise, I was desperate. And what does a desperate person need? I was so desperate in disease, but yet I was such a slave to the food. And this book, divinely inspired, the very beginning of it gives us this promise. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. Now, I didn't enter this program until I was already towards the end of my sixth decade. How much more time was I going to have? I don't know, but these last 10 and a half years have been incredibly to wake up every single morning peaceful, hopeful. It is this program, and this is the promise. This is the step one promise. And to be rocketed into the fourth dimension means to let go of my ego, of all my ways. And it was always my way. And today, as soon as I open my eyes, I connect with my higher power and say, please show me what it is you want me to do, so that I can live in this peace and joy. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Carmela. So let's see what we got here. I think we got time for like three more.
Ravine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, Ravine. Yeah. See, thank you for keeping
okay,
me in Ross. Line.
Thank you. Thank you.
My man.
Go ahead. My name is Ruvain H., and recovered living in Israel. And great. Thank you for your service, Russ, and everybody else who's sharing. Everybody. So I first came into OA in the 1980s, so I was at that time in my mid-30s. Now I'm 71, and I've had some times of abstinence. But this paragraph, it says to me something that's happened to me, and I can only say it's really been like this for the last 4 months, which really shows me, and I was one of these people sitting in the meeting and saying, yeah, I understand when people are saying, just wait long enough, don't give up, you know, it happened to me, it can happen to you. And I was saying to myself that I hear you, but I don't think it's going to happen for me. Well, it did. And 4 months ago, I think, within the last 4 months, and I'm 71 now. So, you know, this gives the process for me, feeling broken and being insane. And the insidiousness of my insanity was that I didn't think I was insane. But anyone who saw me eat it first said, Ruben, what are you doing? You're crazy. But it didn't matter to me. Now, with recovery, I see the insanity of it. So I go back and forth as if I'm stumbling along. And this line over here that says, then it becomes dark, you know, again, darker, I'm hopeless. There's nothing that's going to, I'm not going to be one of these people that's going to make it. And then soon I was to be catapulted into what I call the fourth dimension. And for me, I interpret that as the spiritual awakening and the psychic change that happens by following the steps. I don't want to, you know, again, this is, it's not me. I don't think it's me per se that's doing it. I really can't account for it. All I know is I haven't given up. I didn't give up. I had a spiritual awakening, a psychic change. And in all the times that I've been sober or abstinent or solving different things in different programs, I can never say that I've had this real catapult as a spiritual awakening, psychic change. And my life, I am so happy today. You know, I'll end with saying that I have OCD. It used to be that when I started on Zoloft, my wife would say, you're just too happy. You're too happy. Something, I don't think that's good for you. Now I'm not on Zoloft. I'm on other medication, but I'm not on Zoloft. But I feel the happiest I have ever felt in my life. And my existence is day to day going through significant medical diseases. Thanks for letting me share. And thanks, everybody. Love you. Bye.
All right, thanks, Ruben. Appreciate it. So now, I think we could take two more.
Elsie M.
Okay, Elsie.
Lee H.
And I think with Lee, yeah. Okay, you got it. All right, Elsie, you're up.
Hi, my name is Elsie M. from Pennsylvania. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. What I get out of this paragraph is that the miracle, you never know when the miracle's going to come. And we have to wait for the miracle. And I came in these rooms in 2006, and I had periods of abstinence, but I think it was more diet with group support. The miracle didn't happen for me until 5 months ago. But I stayed around for the miracle. People kept telling me, don't leave the rooms, don't leave the rooms. And now I have an abstinence that I know is not a diet with group support. It is about working the steps and having prayer and meditation on at least a daily basis, several times a day, and that I work 10, 11, and 12 now on a daily basis. So I just am really grateful for this opportunity. I don't share much, so I just wanted to get my hand up. All right, thanks for letting me share. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you, Elsie. Next up is Lee H. And we might be able to get another one.
Good morning. This is Lee H. Thanks so much, Russ, for your service. This is Lee H. from Tennessee, and I had to just put my foot in the door this morning. The shares have been fantastic. And the word that jumped out at me was usefulness. And I too just have to say that it was my higher power that finally I was willing to put the food down, put other things down, and just sit and wait. And it was dark, but what I'm finding is I still have dark moments, but my higher power gets me through that darkness. And I'm able to help people now. And it's true that I had to learn that enlarging my spiritual life was working with others. And I didn't know how exactly that worked, but I just trusted. I just was willing to do something different. And for all of those who are out there that are still struggling, just keep coming back. And I think about, you know, the fact that Bill says, you know, it was dark before the dawn. And who knew that just sitting at his kitchen table with a friend would be the beginning of his new life? And it could be. We don't really know what that light is going to look like before the darkness dissipates, but that light is there, and just trust that it's your higher power is there waiting, and he will come. So thanks so much for this meeting, and I'll pass.
All right, Lee. Thank you. I think we could take one more, actually. Who
How about Janice? Janice PM.
All right, I'm not arguing with that. Go ahead, Janice. You got it.
And thank you so much, and thank everybody. This paragraph is just got a label, hope, 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 because it does happen to each one of us, even in this room right now. It's going to happen to us if we follow the directions. I trembled many, many a time after I was disgusted when I lost my abstinence. Oh, and then when the doctor told me I was going to have diabetes, trembling a lot of times, but it wasn't until I really was in a desperate place and I had no other place to go. And I knew about OA, but it just wasn't working for me because I had to put my ego down. I had to put my authority down for what the right thing to do was. So it feared just sobered me up for what? A little while. That's what abstinence does. Okay, I'm going to be abstinent. I'm not going to eat this sugar. And I know complaining. That's why they don't eat sugar or flour or whatever substance is your trigger. I always making excuses, but I finally, the miracle of the spirit came into my life and the hope came that, okay, I don't know where else to go. I don't know what else to do. I know about OA, but something came up and I heard about this particular meeting, and it wasn't a vision for you. It was something before that, but a few of us went to it. And then I heard the same people that started a vision for you. And that was my follow. That was my direction. That was the arrow that led me to the right, on the right path to these 12 steps that had me find a power. That's the whole thing. Because I couldn't do it myself. My ego had to be down. And this is the promise. This is the promise. It didn't happen here, but I was soon to be catapulted into what called the fourth dimension. Yes, and those of us, it's not yet, but it's a promise. Not yet, which means you're eligible too. And it is a true promise. Ask any one of us that are recovered. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Russ.
All right, Jan, appreciate it. Thank you so much. You're going to be our last share. Thank you to everyone who shared today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour right after this. Once we're closed. Okay, I'm jumbling today. Sorry about that. Let's get to the share ID. How about that? How about today's share ID? Friday, March 8th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,207. So that's 21207 for the Eastern Standard Time meeting, 7 a.m. All right, we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, And I've asked Anne-Marie M. to read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning.
All right, Anne-Marie, we can barely hear you. We can barely hear you.
Oh, is that any better?
There you go. There it is. Now
okay, here. All right. Thank you, Russ. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand him. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.